Hey, welcome to my daily teaching. My name's Graham Jones. In a moment, I'm going to begin a brand new series, which is part of a course I'm teaching at the moment, all about the presence of the Lord, a series called In the Midst. Where two or more are gathered, there Jesus is in the midst. We're going to be exploring all about the presence of God and how to individually and corporately host the presence of God in our lives. Really great teaching. Let me do a few quick practicals before we do that. If you are new to my ministry or my YouTube channel, it's great to have you here. Let me give you five quick practicals that will help you. Please consider hitting the subscribe button. If you're here on YouTube or subscribe to whatever channel or podcast you're listening to this on. Secondly, we have an email newsletter we send out once a week. Really love to get that into your inbox with travel news, articles, free teaching, books I'm reading, books I'm writing, lots of different things like that. There'll be a sign-up link below, and we give a free teaching to everybody who subscribes to our email newsletter. Thirdly, let me mention once a month, first Saturday of every month, I have a live ministry mentoring group, a mentoring group where I teach, but also take questions live from the group. We do this on Zoom at 8 a.m. New York time, first Saturday of every month. If you're interested in joining, there's a sign-up link on my website, gjm.org. Fourth thing, this is a new thing I want to mention as well. If anybody's watching this and you are not a Christian and you're interested in doing either a telephone call or a Zoom call with me to, if you've got questions or you really want to know how do you become a Christian, what does it mean to truly be a follower of Jesus, I will make some time, we'll find a mutually agreeable time and we'll do a Zoom call or a phone call. And I want to lead you to Jesus. I'll be frank with that. This is not a place to do pastoral counseling or advice or prayer for healing, whatever. But if you're not a Christian and you're interested in becoming one, I've got all the time in the world for you. I'd really love to interact with you. Just send me an email. Go to my website and email me if that's something you want to do. And lastly, let me thank all the partners of my ministry as well. And I want to say as well, this entire teaching, we'll be putting this out on YouTube and podcasts every day. But I actually have the entire package, 12 lessons, audios, videos, and all of my teaching notes, which is a lot of notes on this subject. We're making that available free, but for a suggested donation of $20, that goes all to our mission works. If you can't afford the $20, you can get that free, but I really encourage you to download that. Again, link on my website, gjm.org. Good. So let's begin today, and I want to read what for this course will be, I believe, some key scriptures. I'm really looking forward to this time with you guys. I have been, you know, there are some scriptures, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, some scriptures are really precious. They're frankly a little holy and that I've sat upon for years. And this is one of those scriptures. I just felt a release a few weeks ago to teach about this. I'm going to be teaching about it here in my churches in New England. We have this 12-part course, doing a conference in Ireland next week on this subject. And really, I want to entitle this course really three letters, In the Midst. And I want to go to some key scriptures on this in a moment, but I want you to see this as an invitation. God wants to dwell with his people. God wants to dwell in us. He obviously does dwell in us, but he wants us to be conscious of his presence. I believe the church should be the carrier of the glory of God in the same way as the Ark of the Covenant was in Israel. Really interesting thing, and we'll teach about this later in the course. But I believe one of the ways God wants to reveal himself to Israel, and if you will, pull the blinkers and the blinders that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 3, Romans 11 and 12, off of their eyes. Paul says that the Lord will use the church to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy. Think about that. What does that mean? God wants to make the children of Israel, natural ethnic Israel, if you will, jealous. How? I believe it's by the glory of God that is revealed in the Gentiles, the glory that's been lost. Israel has a nation back, but in one sense, you know, even if they were to rebuild a temple, there ain't nothing going on there. You could write Ichabod on that temple without glory. There's no glory there. And know you not, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's glory is in us. And I believe it's vital, imperative, and important that we, the church, learn to walk in the glory of God. So let's begin. Really, today is just an introduction to this topic. Again, I encourage you to download the notes if you've downloaded this entire series from my website. Really important things. Let's read two scriptures here. So Matthew 18:19 says, "Were two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." Now again, I just a word of caution here. In the same way as if you, I don't know if you've ever taken the same road to work. I live about 2 miles away, 2 or 3 miles away from my church here. I've driven that road now hundreds. I can drive it on autopilot. You know, I know every nook and cranny of it. I'm not really looking at it when I drive. And so often we've heard this scripture. Some of us have grown up like I did in churches where every week somebody would stand, "Well, two or more are gathered, there he is, and amen, amen." And we don't think what it actually really says. We're two or more, we're more than one person in effect, because two will do, are gathered. Again, we'll come back to this at a later stage, but the concept of two or three is actually a Jewish legal thing. "By the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established." Think about that. In Acts 7:44, it says, God set up a tabernacle of witness. "You receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me." We are there to give, the Holy Spirit is in us to give witness to the resurrection of Jesus. Not simply to empower us and give us boldness to announce that with words, or boldness to go to somebody and give them a tract. But actually God is in us to witness, to stamp his approval on the message. And it says, "Where two or more are gathered in his name," not in the building, not in a home, not in a stadium, but in his name. He says, "There," again, we've got to look at the language, "there I am." Do you know Jesus, Old Testament, New Testament, the Bible never uses the words "I am" in a light and a flippant manner. So Matthew 18:20, "Where two or more are gathered," excuse me, "in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Another key scripture we're going to come back to a lot, and there are many. Revelation 21:3, really at the end of Revelation, it says, "Behold," look, observe, see, notice, "the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them," or "he will dwell in them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will be with them. They will be his people. God shall himself be with them and be the God." Wow. So what is it? Let's begin here today. Just introductory comments. What does it mean to have God in the midst? You know, God dwells in us permanently by his Spirit. God never leaves you or forsakes you. In the Old Covenant, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon a person, and then the Spirit of the Lord would leave a person. God would come upon Elijah. Elijah would slay the prophets of Baal and do all of these wonderful things. And then the Spirit of the Lord would lift off of that person. And you literally see Elijah, as it were, sinking into this depression, this misery. God's no longer with me. In the Old Testament, God was on people. In the New Testament, God is in people. And God is in you 24/7. Yeah, let's be clear about that. If you're a believer, the Spirit of the Lord is in you. God doesn't come and go. There are times when you may feel him. There are times when you probably won't feel him. But his being in you doesn't depend on your feeling of him. He's with you all the time. But there is something I want you to catch in this series. There's a difference between God being in me, he's in me all the time. I'm having a shower, I'm mowing my lawn, I'm doing whatever. God's in me. Yeah, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. And yet there's a difference between me being conscious of the presence of the Lord, experiencing the presence of the Lord. And then there's a completely different thing again, where, again, I want you to see this, where two or more gather, two will do, yeah. But where there's God in me, and if I meet with you, and it's not just a question of where two or more are in Starbucks having a caramel latte, but literally when we gather in his name, when we're gathering in unity, when we're gathering unto him will the gathering of the people be, the Lord said to Judah in the end of the of Genesis. unto him will the gather. When we're gathered unto him, God literally invades the space. And there is a difference between, again, God being in us and the Lord literally filling that place, that corporate space between you and I. You know, we can talk about standing in the gap. God wants to fill the gap. And I believe the church has a call upon it to literally host the presence of the Lord. Wow, I get goosebumps when I speak about that. And again, I really encourage you to go through all of this material. I'm going to be sharing some things, really some quite personal things about the fear of the Lord, about the awesomeness of God and how we approach him. I believe there is I believe one of the greatest hindrances to approaching the Lord in that we're seeing in the church right now is a flippancy and a lightness about God. I'm not saying we should be, you know, we should never be afraid of God, but we should live in the fear and the awe, and the our approach to God is really, really important. But again, today, excuse me, my goal is to get you to catch that lesson that we are called to host the manifest presence of the Lord. We are called to be carriers of the glory of God. And I believe that one of the, you know, where I live in America, where I live in New England, where I used to live in Old England or in France, one of the largest challenges is, obviously a lot of people don't believe in God, but people don't believe in sin. Most people see no need of a savior. And I think so often what the church has done, it's like we've tried to adapt and change and shift our message. And we've tried to market Jesus to people. And we've tried to tell people, well, come to Jesus and you'll get a new car. Come to Jesus and he'll help you live your best life now. Come to Jesus and you'll be free of your hangups. And frankly, it's like we're turning Jesus into some some self-help guru. And the bottom line is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And until we actually experience the glory and the presence of God, I believe, I know that when somebody who doesn't even believe in God begins to get near to the presence of God, everything in them will cry out like Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6, woe is me, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. We will see our sin, not by having somebody shout at us, you're sinners. Next week I'm traveling and I'll be in the city of Ballymena in Northern Ireland. Great city. Big shout out to all my friends in Ballymena. But I remember once in the 1980s walking around this market town of Ballymena, and there is a bandstand, like a gazebo in the center of the town. And I remember hearing somebody preach from afar off. It's a market day, lots of noise. So I go and I wanted to see what this guy's preaching. I see a guy there with a Bible preaching, and I get near. And as I get near, this guy is literally pointing at everybody walking past, going, you're all sinners, you're all going to hell, you're all going to hell. It's all he said. Now, that's probably a statement of truth, but it's not the good news. But it's also ineffective. Shouting at somebody and saying, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, doesn't actually bring them into the realization of their sin. And I believe we, the church, need to host the holiness, the glory, the awe of God, that we might bring people into that consciousness. Once, years ago, I was in India ministering there, and I went to a barber shop with a friend of mine who wanted a haircut. And we're sitting in a Hindu barbershop with an idol on the wall, you know, Hindu music going on, busy town, not in a church, no cool soaking music in the background. And suddenly the Lord said to me, Graham, I want to get these two barbers. I want to reach them. I want to touch them with the gospel. And I'm having an internal argument with the Lord in a barbershop going, how, they don't speak my language, I don't speak their language. How can I communicate the gospel to two Indian Hindu barbers? And the Lord gave me that scripture, where two more gathered, there am I in the midst. And the Lord pointed my friend, excuse me, and he said, well, he's one, you're one. I'll make up a threesome. I will join in the midst. And in this barbershop, my friend and I began to praise the Lord, not in some big crazy, didn't get a tambourine out and start shouting, this is the day. We just under our breath, Lord, we thank you, we bless you, and we love you. Just bless you, Jesus. And the presence of the Lord came into The barbershop came in the midst, in the space between my friend and I. It's like the two of us invited the glory of God in. And I won't go through the whole story, and I've told it before, but the long and short of it was we led seven Indian men to Jesus just through the presence of the Lord. You know, half an hour later, my interpreter came to collect me, and the seven guys, and they're all like, they're all experiencing the awe of God, not because we explain the awe of God, but because what was in us became the in-the-midst reality in the room. Through my interpreter, we explained the gospel in 2 or 3 minutes, led them all to, they got on the knees in this barbershop floor, and we led them all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe in the days and weeks to come, we're gonna host the glory of God in our churches, amen, but in airplanes, in the streets. I think the tabernacle, in the old days, the world would come to the tabernacle. In these days, the tabernacle is going to the world. Boom. So I encourage you to really engage with this material. We're going to be exploring what does it really mean to dwell in the I Am. Jesus said in John 14:20, in that day you will know that I am in the Father, that you are in me, and that I am in you. So as we end this lesson today, I want to whet your appetite. God's glory wants to dwell in the midst. Wow. I believe the Lord's bringing the church to a place where the priest can no longer stand to minister because of the weight of the glory of the Lord. Thanks for watching, guys. I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson. We're going to talk about preparation for the presence of the King. Bye for now.